Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight. We worship, we adore, and we glorify you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for who you are. You have brought us together again to hear from you, to listen to you, to be encouraged. You said that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. As the people of God, one of the things we must adapt to is to meet regularly in your presence. You have brought us together again tonight, I pray. Even as you have started with us, for your words is where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. I know this time also, even your power and your presence will mount up and it will change our lives. And I will not leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And somebody said, yeah. Why don't you shake three or four people? Tell them it's good to see you tonight. And you may please be seated. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be here tonight? Yeah. All right. Now I'm preaching about. What am I preaching about? Force. I'm preaching about force. I'm preaching about force. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. That from the days of John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now. You see, the beauty about this now is that it is now in every season. Whether it's 1984 or 2006, it's still now. It means that it doesn't end. So even if we die and we go, those who come, it will still be a now for them. Are you with me? So the Bible says that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven suffereth or suffers violence. The word suffereth means it allows, it gives way, it opens up. It's like a gate. The kingdom of God is like a metal, very fortified gate. And that gate only opens up through violence. And the Bible says it is those that are violent who take it, the kingdom, by force. So we are talking about force. It's one of the important things that we must understand, or we probably don't know. Is how precious the kingdom of God is. It's because if you don't treasure something, you will not forcefully hold on to it. Like I was talking about on Sunday, that, you know, those who leave the church, when you read a chapter on those who leave you, those who leave the church kind of send a message that there is an alternative.
Do you get it? Because when you leave, then it's like, oh, you can go somewhere and it's not a problem. All right? But you see, when it comes to, when you bring that also in the life of a woman, there's no woman or man who will want any partner or spouse to make him feel that there's somebody else. There's no human being here who is in love, who is in a relationship, a marital relationship with somebody, and the person gives you the impression that there is an alternative to you. There will not be peace in the house. I said, pepper will go into your eyes. Obia will happen in the house. I tell you, people will do voodoo and all kinds of things. You see, but that is exactly what happens when somebody leaves the church. Because when they leave the church, it means that, oh, this is not the only place I can serve God. I can serve God somewhere else too. So you need to see the value of something to be able to forcefully hold on to it. How many understand the simple message I've preached so far? So the Bible says that the kingdom of God, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness and all other things. It means that all other things are in the kingdom of God. And the moment you seek the kingdom of God, then everything else you want and you need is behind the seeking of the kingdom. Now, so if we know that and we believe that, we will give our lives to the kingdom of God and we will hold on to the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible says. The kingdom of God only opens up or gives in to violent people who are forcefully, violently taking the things of the kingdom. Now, if you don't take church as a very, very important part of your life, if you don't take Christianity as a very, very important aspect of your life, you will lose all the nice things you're supposed to get. So when you go to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44, the Bible says something. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure. How many of us know what treasure is? I don't think we understand what treasure is. Because treasure is normally not made available. I mean, what is treasure? Even some small abroad is treasure. When the first group who have left already to Bible school, when they got to Amsterdam Airport Schiphol, and they saw all the nice and the big place, then it's like they want to be there forever. So when I was talking to them and I said that they should look at the things very, very well. That's just a small part of what is, if you leave the airport, what is out there. And I say that that is what we have left to come here. So they should watch it good. And ask themselves, if they were there, would they leave? Unless you value the kingdom of God, you will not leave a place that seems so attractive and sumptuous and edible and succulent to go somewhere else where doesn't seem so attractive. So the Bible says that again, you see, I'm talking about force and I'm giving you a background. Those of you from BV, from Grow, from all the branches, I'm trying to give you a background because if you don't understand the preciousness of what we are into, then you will not also even develop the force. Because you must know the value of something to really treasure it and protect it and hold on to it. Yeah. You see, when it comes to marriage, for example, when marriage is not nice anymore, mostly, or most of the time, it's because something else has taken place, has taken the place of one of the couples. Yeah? The moment marriage begins to become then something else takes the place. It's like, because when the two of you are together, you're supposed to be doing almost everything together. The moment something else comes in, that's when you see that marriage begins to rock. I tell you the truth. I've been married for almost 21 years. Yeah. True or lie? Why are the married couples? Yeah. It's when something else comes in. It could be a job. It could be money. It could be something else. It could be anything. It could be, it's not just only another person, but it could be something else that you spend your time doing. So then that time now is taken away from the time you spend with each other. Then it becomes a problem. So you have to, if you are a Christian, if you are listening to me here, you have to understand what the kingdom of God is about before you can even understand why I am teaching you to hold on to something by force. You have to. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. He said, so when we understand the importance of the kingdom of heaven, then the things that seem to make us unhappy, the things that seem to cause us to be depressive, the things that make us go on sea world, the two of you, you drink poison and die and go to hell. The two of them, they are surprised. I tell you. You young people, you dip on stupidness. Let some stupid boy take you to sea world and say, let's die together as love. The father of the young lady says he doesn't know the boy. He said he doesn't know the boy from anywhere. It's a big thief. Go and sit down by the beach side and then say, we drink it together, okay? Drink some, I drink some. No, these people and these events try to make us feel that girls or boys are more precious. Do you get it? That's the impression that is created. If somebody can die for a girl or somebody can die for a boy, then what is church? This is an impression they are trying to create. And this girl, what's her name again? Who died, who also took about 10 carbon pills. That LGBT, lesbians, gay, bisexual, and transsexual, these advocate. The lady who got an award from the American Embassy last year in a suit and tie boycott. Something Nicholson, right? Ha. Took 10 pills of carbon, whatever. Tablet. Rat poison. Yeah, she's a rat. Now she says she's not feeling well. They should take her to the hospital. And on the way to the hospital, she tells them she's taking carbon tablets. That's it. Now people are analyzing. People, because she has been an advocate. She's been somebody who has been in the open trying to, advocate for freedom of expression and the acceptance of lesbians, gay, transsexual, and bisexual people. So Freddie Kissing was wondering, so what? Yeah, it's like people are wondering, well, what is this thing that it's like in public you are so strong, yet in private there's a man who is knocking you. I said, all of you, you turn around and round and round and round and round and round and round. And then you see that there's no one like Jehovah God. That's the end of the matter. That's the end of the matter. Yeah. You realize it sooner or later that there's no solution. And I saw Gordy mostly put it on Facebook or something like that. What should Guyana do about this suicide? Guyana can do something about suicide? He should wait until he himself commits suicide. Because we are fighting against evil forces that no amount of human psychology, sociology, or philosophy can fix. That's why the Bible says that to escape this darkness, you must see the path or the side that God Almighty dwells as a treasure Oh, a treasure. Unless you see that, you know, you are escaping some danger. You are escaping some evil. You are escaping something that when it gets you, it will sift you like wheat. You will not treasure that which the kingdom of God is like. Oh. You have to see. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure. But you have to know what the treasure is. When you know it, you will send your child to Bible school. When you know it, you send your child to Ghana. You will send him to go and study to become a preacher. It's treasure. It's treasure. I tell you, it's treasure. You come to church every Sunday. You won't wait for somebody to come and call you to come to church. You will come to church because it's a treasure. I said, because it's a treasure. It's a treasure. It's not a treasure. We'll not give our lives to it. But again, there are so many things in the world. Sit down, please. You are disturbing people. But you see, again, we the world brings things to compete. They show us that, you know what? Maybe going to Canada is better. Going to study in Canada is better. Working at the bank is better. So they create a very nice atmosphere at the bank and they pay you little. Yeah. And they say, oh, be anything. If you're a girl, you like girls, it's okay. You see, because they want to take our eyes off the treasure. But I'm telling you, the Bible says you and I, Christians, we should really know what we have gotten ourselves into, you know. The Bible says it is unto a treasure hid in a field. The which a man, when he had found it, he hideth it. He hideth and for joy thereof goeth and sell all that he has. And he buys that field. He exchanged everything he had. And I'm sure it wasn't just some little wooden house, 20 by 20 or 10 by 10, or the squatting area. He went and he said, all that he had. You see, and that is why, for me, for example, to leave Europe and come here, it's nothing. Because if you see the treasure that is in the kingdom of God, you do anything for the kingdom of God. You do anything. You do anything. That is why people who were being arrested, that if they don't deny Christ, they will cut off their head. They say, cut off the head. They say, cut it off. What is a head? A head, a head in the kingdom of God. What is a head? Yeah. What is a head? Be careful of what Satan shows you as treasure. Be careful of it. There's no treasure that is real than the kingdom of God. I tell you. So we are saying that one of the things you should force about is so when you enter into the kingdom of God, you should be very, very careful anything you receive or you get. So the first thing we spoke about last week was that your position. I mean, you enter into the kingdom and then you are given a position. When you are given a position, you better hold on to the position. You see, it's like you're drowning. And then you get a small stick or something floating to hold on to. That's what you appreciate, small things that can save your life. Yeah, even a stick. When you get back to land safely, when you see trees, you worship them. You say, hey, don't touch the tree. Don't touch the tree. Because you will learn how to respect things that people don't respect. So when you become a Christian and you are given a position, so becoming a Christian alone is something precious.
I can't imagine that you have made a boy who didn't go to school. Who can't do anything for you? Be so precious to you that you can't go to church, you can't read your Bible, you can't pray. I can't imagine how a girl, Nicholas, a girl, can change your whole life. You see, that is why I believe so strongly that God saved me. You see, because one of the things that I think I probably understand now is that when I give my heart to something, by the grace of God, I do it with all my might. I think I'm beginning to understand that. Now, I had a girl that I loved when I was younger. I'm not an old man. I've learned my lesson well. I love this girl. I've said it so many times. I'm sure as I'm mentioning her name, she's probably turning on her bed somewhere. Say, why can I not sleep? Because I'm preaching about her in my church tonight. Wherever she is. I love the girl. To me, she was all in all. Yeah. 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 She was my pebble, my only pebble on my beach. Oh. Hey. Man, when I see her, I mean, my heart jumps from here and it goes here. Hey. Lord God. No, I for me, you see, and it was very interesting because growing up as a boy, you know, I really adored and admired my father, and I pursued the things that he also pursued. You get it? So when he changed my name to his name, then it became worse. Because then it's like, this must be a carbon copy of me. It's very interesting. It was very interesting for you to know that my father, he started schools. Not churches. He started schools. And I have started churches. Yeah. My father is a principal. He has trained a lot of people in accounting and all these things. So many people. Yeah. When he died, all of them came to pay tribute. He was a starter of schools. When he was in the Freemason, he also started a couple of branches. Yeah. And I was going to go to Freemason also. And I would have started branches also. But God saved me. So, in secondary school, I met this nice little girl. Beautiful. To me. Then. Yeah, it was more beautiful than Patricia. I tell you. You know how sometimes... I don't know if you know. You're not, I don't know whether you're experienced, Prince. I don't know if you're experienced, but you see, there's times you see young, innocent girls. They're so innocent and pretty. They're beautiful. Innocent. I mean, it's like untouched. I mean, very like a gem. Natural, right? You know, there's no Mary Kay or virgin something, you know. So when I saw her, I said, hey! You are beautiful. I'll marry you. Just like that. Then I discovered that she was from my hometown. That's what I'm talking about. So let's say you are from Queenstown in Essequibo. And you realize that, hey, this girl is also from Queenstown in Essequibo. Because my father comes, I come from the village that my father comes from. I mean, normally you come from the village that your mother comes from. But my father and mother are from the same village. So when I saw, when I said I loved her, and then I also discovered that she was from a village. Can you see the equation? Yeah. Connection. I mean, she was attractive. She on top of that, I discovered she was from my village. She was very intelligent. I realized that she was very bright. She was topping the class sometimes. Yeah, I said, oh, I mean, that's it, because you don't want to give children who are dancers, right? So you need You need to marry a woman who is intelligent. So that your children's IQ can be high. Many of you don't think about all those things. Yeah, so she looks so beautiful. But she's a dunce. I'll forward you a WhatsApp conversation. I'll forward it to you. So, I mean, what I said was really what it was. I to me, she was my wife. That was it. I mean, she fit. That's it. There was no discussion. Profile, excellent. Then I discovered also that my father is friends to her mother. Lizzo. And even my father told me that the mother's bigger sister was somebody that he was trying to hustle. Hey, Castello. So then it's like, oh, I mean, this is a family that we are known. Everything was falling in place. Tanisha, do you understand the story I'm trying to say? I've been like you before, you know. So, I mean, it was free as yet. I mean, as young as I was, I could take her to my house. Nobody would say anything. Back and forth. Sometimes I would even come here as a prisoner in my house for days. I would do anything. Do you know that song? I would do anything for love. Kimberly and Karen, do you know that song? you know that song, right? I mean, think about it. When you are a student and you have a girlfriend, you see, when you're a student, you don't understand though. Because a girlfriend means money. When you have a girlfriend, it means you must have an income. Because the girlfriend will have needs. So if you're a student, you because it's not just kissing. You kiss her, one day she'll say, you know what? I want to buy lipstick. And she can't go and tell the father or the mother. You are the one she will tell. So because you've been kissing the mouth, the lipstick is going. You're peeling the lips, so she needs lip gloss. And you can't tell her that, oh, I don't mean got money. I don't walk nowhere. That's the end of the relationship. So this girl was also very fancy. She used to sew her own dresses. So she was very, how do you call it? Very creative. So you look at the style online or something. Those they were not online. They were more catalogs. And then she would just add something and then she would sew her own dress. Hey! When I'm going out with her, man, I always feel so nice. Because she put on them kind of clothing. And I just walk by ship. And I admire she bad. I said, what? This is me wife. I was stick here by force. No, I would do anything for her. No, to the extent that I'm teaching you something. To the extent that one day, I asked a Christian brother friend to come and marry us. By force. No, some of you should listen to what I'm saying very carefully. So the Christian brother came. He was also, that time, a very naive Christian brother, right? And he came as the pastor for the wedding. And one of my classmates was also, used to, the mother of the girl. So we went to wear some black pants and some white and black something. Then she went to look for a white dress, short dress. Hey, Abigail! And then in my bedroom, yeah, we came together. And the Christian brother came. And then the other lady came. And one or two friends came. And then the Christian brother came and I went to buy a ring from like Starbrook Market. With in those days they used to have these rings with your initial on it. So I bought one with my initial. I said, use me own. So I so Christian brother came, he prayed, we did something. I don't remember exactly what we did, but I remember we signed a paper. And I slipped the ring on her finger. Oh. Yeah. From this day forward, we shall be one. And then we're there. Oh, I mean, back and forth all over the place. Up to today, when you mention my name, her name comes up. There's nobody who I went to school with who mentioned my name and forget her. Up to today, as I'm a pastor, as I'm a man of God, if I meet a classmate, the first question they ask is, where is she? Where's your wife? And then one day, to my surprise, hey, all right, Matthew chapter 30, verse 44. You like talk, you like talk. Church is sweet, Papa, I tell you. All right, let me finish my story. I ain't frightened nobody, man. All right. Okay. All right. Hey, I'm preaching. So, one day, to my surprise, the girl got married. Just like that. Again. Now, we were going good. No problems, you know. I was just doing my national service again in my hometown. So when I go, I come like every week, or sometimes I skip, you know, a week, and I come every 2 weeks. One time when I skipped 2 weeks, I'll come back home every week. Just 2 weeks. I skipped this weekend and I came the other weekend. When I came back, she was married. Somebody had married her, gone to pay the bride price. The person had gone back to America. And I didn't know. That's how I got saved. That's how I got saved. And for you who probably want to know some of the things, a few years after, I think about 10 years after, I discovered that she was very, very unhappy. You see, but the blood of Jesus had actually broken every curse upon my life. Yeah. So some of you should be careful. So somebody asking me, but why? I said, why? Something happened in the past that I am free of because of the blood of Jesus, which she is not free of. So she's still connected looking back when we have marched on to Zion. To some of you do some taste on covenant, blood relationship, this best BFF, best friends forever, all kinds of stupid things. It will follow you. I said, be careful, it will follow you. So God had to come and take me away from, because she was becoming too much of a treasure. But the treasure really in this world, in this life, must be the kingdom of heaven.
not a woman, not a man. That's why I'm telling you the story.
A young girl was in my office. I was asking her a question. She said she doesn't want to talk in the presence of everybody. I said, so I stop it? I preach and I say my stories. You, what do you have in your life? Yeah. And I said, anything you can't say in the presence of people, it means that there's something wrong about your life. A Christian should boldly be able to talk about their weaknesses and their struggles in the midst of other Christians. It should not be like, this one we have to talk private. There's something wrong when you want to behave like that. Yeah, you are bringing too much Guyanese into Christianity. So, knowing this treasure we have, you have to hold on to any position. So, becoming a Christian alone is a treasure. Right? It's something precious. Now, in Christianity, you are given a position. The Bible says that you must stand. You must stand. You must hold on. Pinky, you must hold on to anything that is given to you. Because to become a Christian is one level. To be given a responsibility is another level. So if you don't hold on to it tight, something will happen. And you'll be disappointed. Number two, before I close, your salvation. I think it's very simple. Your salvation. Your salvation. I mean, I'll just remind you of what I said a few minutes ago about if you're drowning and you get something that you can float on. Salvation, ladies and gentlemen, is like a flotation device that as you are drowning, or it's like a life vest, that a boat you are on is shattered, and the life vest is what keeps you floating. That's how your salvation is like. You better hold on to your life vest. I said, you better hold on to your life vest. You better hold on to your life vest. Philippians chapter 2. What a treasure. What a treasure. Are we going to force to hold on to the things God has given to us? Those of you who have the privilege to work for the Lord, don't let it bother you any time. Don't let the time come that it will bother you like, you know what, you are tired or it's too much. No. Then you don't understand what the whole thing is about. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Closing just now. You must force. Must force. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Is it when you respect somebody and the person is around, you watch your moves. You're careful. You watch what you do. You watch what you say and all of that. Sweetie, what is wrong with your head? Something wrong with your hair? Your hairstyle? Your hand is on your hair all the time that I'm preaching. Be careful, you know. I can change the sermon and I can come back to what I was preaching about. So stop playing with the hair you don't have and look at me. She's tying the hair. She's losing it. That red toy thing that is on her. She's pushing it. She's just playful. Listen to what I'm preaching. What's your name again? From BV, right? What's your name again? Anastasia. That's the same way you behave in BV when I came there to preach. Where's Joanne? Two of us. Yeah. You better sit quietly and listen to the preaching I'm preaching. It is you, your type of people who go and die on sea war with boys. Because you know, you are not listening when we're preaching. When somebody is sitting next to you and they are doing that, you should say hello. Eh? Say hello. You should draw their attention. Are you there? Ha. So I'm saying that when you respect someone and the person is your presence, you know, you thank you very much. you are controlled, isn't it? Especially as pastors. People, when they see you pastor, they behave themselves. Oh, pastor. I tell my story of one day, one of my church members, she was quarreling with a taxi driver also. So she said. And I think immediately after the quarrel, maybe a second or two later, I called her. And the way she faced me on the phone. So I said, hello. 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 I said, it's Pastor. He said, oh, Pastor. Good day, Pastor. I said, who are you fighting with? He said, Pastor, some taxi driver. I hope it was a taxi driver. So, as you have always obeyed, people always obey in your presence. That's why when people disobey in your presence, they have an evil spirit. Because there's a normal thing for people to respect and to obey when a pastor or an older person, respectable, is around. It's normal. When that thing is there and you still are able to go beyond, I mean, something is not well. Yeah, there's something wrong with you. It's not as in my presence, but now much more in my absence. He says, work out. You know what it means to work out? 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you go to the seawall, you see people working out. You must work out your own salvation, not somebody else's salvation, your own salvation. With fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. It is like somebody who's going to steal something and you are afraid that you'll be caught. You are stealing the thing. You are afraid. As you are taking it, you are trembling. It's like, let's go. That is how the Bible says you should work out your salvation. Your salvation is something you must hold on to. I say your salvation is something you must hold on to. Now, let me go further and say this. That your salvation and the holding on to your salvation is always linked to a church. Because the workout part of the salvation is the church activities. Where else do you work out your salvation? Not in the gym. Not on the seawall. You work it out in church by activities. So if you have salvation and you are not connected to any organization, the working out part doesn't happen. That's why many Christians who join churches and are not active in the church, short time they leave the church. Short time they go once a month. You ask anybody you meet on the road if they are Christians. They'll say, yes. When was the last time you went to church? They say, oh, Old Year's Night. Oh, 3 weeks ago, 1 month ago. I've not been to church for about 3 months ago. And if you look down into the lives of these people, they are people who are not working out. There's nothing for them to work out. There's no exercise. There's no spiritual exercise. There's not anything they are doing. Because salvation is like a little fat in your body, right? You have to work it out. You have to work it out. You have to keep on. You have to force and hold on to your salvation. Because if you lose your salvation, you go to hell. And if you have been a Christian before, remember the demons will like you more. Because you were the ones who were praying and saying, hey, Satan, I bind you. Satan, I rebuke you. So now that you have backslided, he said, come. You, I know. Come. Ra-pa-pa-pa-pa. Yeah. Two things happen to two people. If you're a Christian, when you die, angels meet you. When you're not a Christian, when you die, demons meet you. And they laugh. When they see you coming, they laugh. They laugh. They are excited at you. Especially if you are somebody who was saved and you lost your salvation. Then all the time you have been talking to people about Jesus, all the time you've been praying, all the time you have been doing those spiritual things, they will repay you. They will reward you abundantly, exceedingly. Because when you were on earth, you had a chance. you helped in making sure that they were not operative. So now that they have you, you too, you must suffer. Hold on to your salvation. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, O God. That's why I love the song. We say, thank you, God, for saving me. Why don't you thank God tonight for salvation? Thank God. If you are not saved, you can't thank God. I'm going to give you a chance to give your heart to Christ. If you are saved tonight, why don't you thank God? Thank God for salvation. The Bible says it is a treasure. It's a treasure. Somebody thank God tonight. Thank God. Thank God tonight. Thank God. Lift up your voice. I'm talking to Christians who cherish their salvation. Who understand that if it wasn't for Christ Jesus, Kebros kabarande me kebris kabarandas. Ma mas kabande be kebris kabandoro mo kebros koborondos. Lebere shikabara barandere me kebros koborondos. Mayande me kebrende maskataya babanda makaya babende. Reboro mo suko brondo mo kaya baba sikabara babanda. Lande bebe kabobo sikabarande. Rekekebe, rekekekebe, rekekebe, rekekekebebe. Mamandiri mi kabras kabarande merebe kabras kabarababanda. My God, my God, my God. Thank you for my salvation. Lebro sakataya baraba kabraba kabarababa. Rekebos katabaraba kabrande reme kebres keteye. Rekebro basakataya baba. Leberebe shikabaraba baba sandana makabrande rebe. Lebrobo seke bendere me kabras katabara baba. Thank you, Jesus. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt you paid. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the skies, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came, you came, you came,
you came from heaven to earth,
oh, to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt you pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky,
Lord, I lift your name on high.
You came, you came, you came,
you came from heaven.
You show
the way from the earth to the cross. My debt
you pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name. Show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt you pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the skies,
Lord, I lift your name on high.
You are here tonight. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'll pray with you. Pastor, I am not born again. I'm not saved. So as you're preaching, you're saying that hold on to your salvation. Force and maintain your salvation. I don't have it to force and hold on to it. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to choose heaven tonight. If I die right now, I don't know where I would go. You have to make a choice tonight before it's too late. Pastor, please, I want to choose heaven tonight. Pray with me. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'll pray with you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Was that hand up? I see a hand. God bless you. I see a hand up. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come. I want to pray for you. Come. Come. Clap for them as they come.
When your love poured out, bring me to my knees. Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself. I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross.
Close your eyes with me, everybody. Those in front. Say this prayer with me. Pray this prayer from the bottom of your heart. And that treasure that we've been talking about tonight will be exposed to you. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised him from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, my sins are washed away. I have been forgiven of every sin. And I have eternal life right now. I believe I'm now a child of God. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for these ones. Let them experience the treasure that is in the kingdom of heaven. Let them not lose their salvation ever. But may they walk the walk of faith on that path of righteousness until the end of their days. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And somebody said,
amen. We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.